Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, one of your hosts, along with the lovely Trevor Sikkema on a Tuesday morning. I figured, you know, you got
very
a lot
simple.
Simple, to the point, describes you, your personality well, I think. Looks, maybe not so much, but...
You know what else is lovely?
What?
Wow, I heard that. I heard that jab there at the end. The new website we got going on.
Yes.
Those snazzy websites, man.
Yes, it is. It's very nice. If you haven't been there, guys, visit and check out Locked On NFL Draft, the website. It is up and running due to our partnership with FanRagSports.com. They do a lot of great work, and we are partnering with them, and they have designed sites for us, and we're giving them a podcast network, and it's just a great relationship so far. Love those guys, obviously, right there. So I'm biased as well. So, but yeah, the website is very cool. It's very well designed, and we're even going to have the chance to, if once the NFL season winds down, be able to put up content there and things like that if we want to. And you'll see a lot of articles get pulled there, I think, from FanRag. So it's going to have a little balance of written content and podcast stuff, and it's going to be a nice little draft hive for you guys that we're going to create. So some more stuff is in the works along those lines, and stuff that will be added to the site. But Locked On NFL Draft, go check it out. It's a pretty cool site. And we've got probably one of the podcasts I'm most looking forward to this season, one I think we'll be able to reference back to a good bit during the draft season, and it's discussing this quarterback class. At this point, Trev, we're a large portion of the way into the college football season. You know, we're past the halfway point, and I think based on how much I've seen of most of these quarterback prospects, now there's some that I still need to see a little bit more of that I haven't seen quite as much of this season, but based on what I've seen from most of these guys, I feel like I'm getting a pretty good handle on where they're at. Now, I still need to sort things out at the top of the class, but I think that the best way to go about this every year for me is, who can you eliminate from the top tier conversation? Who can you eliminate throughout the season, and who can you focus in on? I think, and then the final part of it is, who can you bring in to kind of replace some of those guys that you've eliminated that you may need to take a closer look at? Not necessarily that they're definitely in that top tier, but that, okay, these guys definitely aren't it. They aren't what they've been talked up to be. Okay, we'll eliminate them. Now, who are some guys that maybe could move into the picture? So we'll look at all of those things today. But let's start at the top. We've talked a lot about Sam Darnold, so I don't know. He's one guy that we've covered extensively. I don't know that there's a ton more to be said, but have you had any change of heart on your opinion on what Sam Darnold should do after this season?
It seems like that he, the more we read about this, it just seems like he is going to go back to school. Mm-hmm. And I know you would stand for that pretty hard, that he is just straight up not ready. I have a hard time believing all of these articles that are being written here in, what is it, kind of like late-ish October, when he has still two more months to decide this. And, I mean, let's face it, man. You have to look at the rest of the quarterback class as a whole. Now, if Sam Darnold was only thinking about, like himself – and I don't mean that in like a selfish way. I mean, like, if he were only thinking about things like for himself, then yes, I think that he realizes that going back to USC is probably the good move for him long term. But you also don't control the classes that you could come out with. So I know that we have said this before, but man, if the NFL is going to be really stubborn on Lamar Jackson, which it seems like they're going to be, and if Josh Rosen
and Baker Mayfield, I think they'll be very stubborn on both of them.
Probably Jackson more than Mayfield, just because Lamar Jackson is a skinnier black quarterback, which is obviously kind of has its different kinds of stereotypes to come with it,
Were you taking a shot at Baker Mayfield's little pudginess there with that?
I actually wasn't, but no, I'm team Baker Mayfield's good.
People have taken shots at his pudginess. That's why I laughed when you said that, because
that wasn't really intent there.
He's not really pudgy. He's just thick, you know?
Yeah, I'm team Baker Mayfield's good. I'm not, you know, thick,
it's
short.
It's just because he wears the small jersey, the medium jersey. That's all.
But you got to. In college football, it's all about the
100%, yeah.
It's all about, because, like,
pull that thing up like Zeke.
I noticed that, man. Like, when you get to the NFL, the jerseys are so much more, like, regulated and everything. And I remember, as an example, I remember watching Justin Evans play at Texas A&M. And I watched, like, a lot of his tape because he went to the Buccaneers, obviously. A&M's, man, got A&M's basically like a bodysuit of a jersey and pads. There, it's just so tight the whole way down, and then now he looks so different because the pads are and the jerseys are different in the NFL. But anyways, if Darnold was just kind of like focusing on himself, then it would be smart for him to go back. But because you don't have any control of what's around you, Darnold still might be getting number one overall talk here at the end of the year. Like, whether he plays that good or not. So at that point,
Yeah, it
like,
becomes tough.
if Darnold's getting top five talk, do you? All right, so answer me this. I know that you think that it would be smart for Sam Darnold to go back. I think we all kind of believe that at this point, unless he really just catches fire like he did at the end of the last year and could put some momentum into that and really make us rethink that. Do you think that if he gets top 10 talk, top five talk even, that he would go back at all? What do you think the situation, what do you think the percentage of that is?
You know,
Because that,
ordinarily
yeah.
I would say no, but I think he might. I think that he, first of all, I don't think he feels like the need for the money, and I don't think he would feel the need, the pressure to declare. Like, I think he'd be a guy that would bet on himself to be better and to improve and to potentially do the long term thing. I don't know him personally, just from the little bit I've seen of him, the people I've interacted with that do know him a little bit. So we're obviously a good chunk of speculation here, but I think he could be one that decides, you know what? I can go back, I can improve, I can get better, and then I can get when I get to the NFL, I'll be more prepared for what it has to offer. And I might change my tune if he'd played 3 years already. But remember, this is only his second season and not even a full season last year on the field for
Dude,
USC.
you don't have to remind me of that. That's why when people when PFF, and I love PFF, but when they did that like total redraft of all draftable football players thing,
I
and they
do
were
remember
taking Sam
that.
Darnold like
They were
number
taking
10
him.
or
He
whatever.
was high, dude. He was real
That's
high.
ridiculous.
Yeah. He was higher than I would have taken him at that. But I think it's, the project was, geared toward the future, so you're projecting out a ton
Oh,
anyway, which is
I know,
always
and
dangerous.
it was actually a lot of fun to read. But that one was just the glaring thing for me. It's like, yo, he's played 9 games of real football. How about we calm down about taking him over Aaron Donald?
Aaron Donald was way down that list, but yeah, no, I think it's gonna be continue to be the conversation that people will talk about, but in some ways, only really Darnold can answer. Like,
Well, here, let
does
me
he
ask
feel
you this,
pressure to come out now?
just on the flip side, because we've talked about that part plenty. But what about you? Because at the beginning of the year, I think you were even still, hey, I'd kind of like to see Darnold play this year out and probably play another year of football. You still with that?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely want to see him go back to school because I just don't think he's ready. And
Okay,
part of
there you
that's
go.
because I think that he can improve in college and not be, because if he goes, like you said, if he goes, it's because he's going to go top 10. And if he goes top 10, he's going to get thrown to the wolves on more than likely a bad football team that, there's a couple landing spots
Yeah,
potentially,
but
maybe
Trubisky did
Arizona.
too. And he's been doing all right.
What's that?
Trubisky did too, right? Like, Trubisky didn't have a lot of starts under his belt, and he's coming in. We're kind of seeing that, hey, he's a natural. He's a natural. I wouldn't
Yeah,
say
I
that, like,
think,
good or
I mean,
whatever, but.
Trubisky hasn't been great for sure, but he had 7 pass attempts the other day. I don't know if you saw that. That was the whole game.
And one. We call that
So,
the Georgia Southern around these parts.
I mean, it's just like one of those, they're just hiding him for as many games as they get. I think he has 23 pass attempts in the last 2 games. It's just like, and they've won both, so John Fox ain't getting away from it. But it's just, yeah, there's no way that can be sustainable. So, now, I don't think they're hiding just him. They're hiding the protection's awful and the receivers are awful as well. So it's across the board issues in Chicago. But
So
having
what about
said that,
Josh? What's in that?
so yeah,
Oh,
so
sorry. You were you.
no, I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, we kind of know, everybody knows we're staying on, well, on Sam Darnold. Josh Rosen to me is the big question mark in this class. I'm not sure what to
I
think
think so
still about
too. I think
Rosen.
he's more of a question mark than Darnold is.
In terms of whether he declares or in terms of, because I think he's going. I think
Right. I
he's
think that's
leaving.
with Sam. I really do think that with Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, you're talking about the two most alluring quarterback prospects for this class, like from the NFL's stance, from people in the NFL. I think Darnold is closer to staying. Rosen, I don't think stays.
Right.
So
he's gone.
Like, he is the big X factor to me. Like, if Sam Darnold stays, okay, that's expected. If for whatever reason Josh Rosen stays, this quarterback class immediately becomes like Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and
someone's going to get thrown up the board, probably Rudolph, because there's just no other options.
but I kind of do think Rosen should go. I do. I think
he should go.
I think that there are talented enough offensive coordinators, certainly, who are going to be picking high in the draft, to where I think there are a couple good spots that he could land.
Yeah.
Too. So
I don't think Josh Rosen can do everything. Like, I don't think he's great down the field.
His parents told him he could do everything when he was younger. So
he is very mechanical. He has enough athleticism to be able to manage the pocket. There's times where he does it really well. There's times where he gets hung up and doesn't make quick decisions. So he's just the biggest thing for me when I watch Rosen, I just think he's inconsistent. He could be brilliant one drive and horrible the next. And like even the way he throws the football, not so much the mechanics of throwing it, but like at times I see a lot of zip on the ball. And then at other times it just seems like he floats passes to windows that need a lot more pace on him. So what Rosen is going to require is me really sitting down, and I've seen him live twice this year, and I watched probably three or four games from his last season before he got hurt. I think I might have watched all of them before he got hurt. I can't remember how many he played in. But what I need to do with Rosen, and what I'll need to do with him when it comes to evaluation time, is just to sit down and watch all of his games, because I've got to get a – he's not like one of those quarterbacks that you get a great feel for after one game, because he's just all over the map. And – UCLA changed their offense to make it more pro style, which I don't think was a good fit for him. And even NFL teams are getting more away from pro style and adding variety. The best offensive minds, we saw Philadelphia last night. There's so much variety in that offense. Andy Reid, so much variety in that offense. Todd Haley, tons of variety in the offense. So I think that the best offensive minds are getting away from that type of thinking and can probably use Rosen in a much better way. But man, if there's one thing we've learned, and we need to probably just have a podcast on this, it's that coaching and teaching and play calling and offensive system matters much, much more, in my opinion, than having a quote-unquote prototypical franchise, you know, stereotypical quarterback. Like, make it work with offensive minds and play calling and coaching and teaching. Improve players, make it work, use their strengths, enhance their strengths with everything that you call and do. So I think that's going to be huge for Josh Rosen, because I don't think he can be in this Coryell downfield passing attack, you know, big arm system like Arizona has and things like that require those, you know, very prototypical, you know, deep ball, big arm quarterbacks that are more pocket presence guys like a Carson Palmer. I don't think that's really Rosen. I think that he can thrive in a system that uses a lot of RPOs and uses a lot of short, quick passing. You know, maybe it's a Nyheart Perkins type offense or whatever it might be. But I like Rosen, but I have to figure out how much I like him. I think he has potential to be QB1, but I have to like, there's so many inconsistencies and ugly moments too that he's scary to bank on. And I don't even think it's the personality stuff. I don't even care about that as much. But like, he's scary to bank on. He's an up and down quarterback. That's just style play.
I think about that, but then I also think about some of the quarterbacks who, and I'm not saying you're wrong with this, but like, I think of quarterbacks who I was kind of scared to bet on too when they were just in college, and then they get to the NFL, and like you preface this conversation with, it all kind of changes. You know, you get the right coach under you, Rosen could look like the number one quarterback in this class easily. You know, like if he goes to, like we said, San Francisco, we've said on this podcast, something like that, where he gets to be paired with Kyle Shanahan. I mean, Josh Rosen could look brilliant, and he could look brilliant like within his first 3 years, you know? And so then all of a sudden we're like, oh, you never should have doubted Josh Rosen. But in reality, I mean, here we are getting to talk about it while he's in college, and there are things that he doesn't do well. But I do think that, you know, in the aftermath or in the wake of, you know, watching the Monday Night Football game that we got to watch last night with Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins, and getting to see Carson Wentz kind of just truly come into his own, if you haven't even seen him yet, just have success and be a quarterback who some people thought that he was going to struggle to be. It's so much about fit and coaching and mentality and things like that. And I think the reason why Rosen is high on a lot of people's boards is because he shows the potential to get over a lot of the things that we see in college that we don't like. But I the longer I do this, the longer I cover the draft, the more that I realize that a lot of times college coaches don't necessarily know what they're doing.
Or NFL coaches.
Well, I mean, I'm not here to say that NFL coaches certainly do either, but there are plenty of good prospects and even like great prospects who we look at a college who get to the NFL even, and they're basically getting real coaching for the first time in the NFL, you know, almost in their, you know, probably in their life, because their natural ability is just taking them to that point. So it's hard. It's hard to analyze what you think of a guy, and because there are certainly things about Josh Rosen that you like, and there are also certain things that you just watch some boneheaded moves and different kinds of throws he tries to make, and you just go, dude, come on.
Yeah.
But good coaching, man. If they put Josh Rosen in the right system, and I think probably the same can be said for Darnold, but I think that – would you agree with this? Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
If paired with the right coach, Josh Rosen is either the best or like one of the – top 2-3 quarterbacks in this class.
Yeah. Okay. If paired with the right coach, yeah. And if he makes the proper, you know, steps in growth, decision making, I think is a big part of it. I think Sam Darnold has the highest ceiling, though, to be honest. He's just far away from it right now. Like, he's further away from it than Rosen. He's further away from it than Lamar Jackson. He's further away from it than Baker Mayfield.
I would agree with that. Man, that's where we're at. Mason Rudolph disappointed me this year. I liked Mason Rudolph coming in this year, and I liked him down the stretch last year, and I thought that coming into his senior year when I heard that he was going to come back, he was going to take steps. And, you know, because last year he was a quarterback who just had this big arm, obviously attacked the field vertically, did some things you like, but even beyond just like the little consistency, because that was the narrative with him, like he does the big stuff well, he has the 60-yard arm, but even like the little things were the things that people hampered on. This year, it's not even like the little things for me. I see him complete some of these smaller, quick passes, and they're fine. It's that, like, I'm watching this Texas game, and I know Texas has a good defense now, but some of the throws that he had, I'm just like, man, you're a senior. I thought you'd be over some of these things. But because that – in games against Texas, those crunch time games are really why you watch a prospect come back for – like a senior year or something, right? You want, when the moments are big, when they have 4 years under their belt, you want them to be able to stay calm and cool, make most of the right throws, and most of all, kind of like be confident. And never thought Mason Rudolph was confident really that entire game.
The thing. Rudolph is, he can get skittish in the pocket. Like, he can get rattled. And
that is the thing that bothers me. Right. The little, he needs better accuracy on certain like smaller throws, not just the big one. I don't really care about that, because I think that's also kind of fixable with timing and consistency with receivers. But what you just said there, getting skittish, I can't stand that in a quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially not one that I'm going to pick high. Right. At that point, project to me that you're going to get over it mentally, but I haven't seen it yet.
Because the NFL is so much faster, and you better be ready for it. Like, everything's faster. And to me, sometimes when the speed of the game gets picked up, or the situation's overwhelmed, or he's not comfortable, it's a little bit of panic mode. Now, not to the degree that Luke Falk is. And now, you know, I'll say this because it's time for me to say, you know, I've just separated this class, and I've said this a little bit before, but to me, Luke Falk, I know he may have been in the conversation. To me, he's a guy that I'm pondering if he's draftable right now. That's where I'm at with my evaluation with Luke Falk, because the arm strength isn't there. The decision-making isn't there. The pocket presence is terrible, man. It's so bad. I mean, he doesn't move his feet. He lets guys run right into him in the pocket. He looks overwhelmed. He's double clutching the football. Like, it's bad. Like, Luke Falk's situation is messy. He's been rough this year. I don't care what the stat line says, as much as you watch the tape of Luke Falk and tell me that looks like a confident franchise type quarterback. And he's not going to create outside of structure. He needs that good structure in the pocket, that clean base to be able to throw from. And he's not going to have that. He doesn't have the arm strength. And you're not always going to have that in the NFL. Things are going to get muddy, and he can't throw off platform at all. So, you know, to me, Falk, we're talking about day three at best with him. Josh Allen, we've talked about it a lot. No chance in the world I'm taking a player that is that bad in structure. Isn't even great out of structure, runs himself into sacks and pressures, makes crazy turnover-worthy throws, is generally inaccurate to all levels of the field. Like, yeah, those things are like undeniably true about Josh Allen. If you like him, you think he can fix all of those things. No thanks, man. Like you cannot argue that Josh Allen manages the pocket well, or that he throws accurately, or that he plays within structure well, or that he doesn't panic in a clean pocket. Like,
Those hell of things, an arm.
yeah,
But
had
that's
great
it.
arm, you know. So did Jamarcus Russell, and the list goes on. And Logan Thomas had a great arm. Like, I just don't care if that's the only thing you can do. Now, I thought going into the year he was mechanically sound, and he was 100% better last year for sure.
Yes.
Now he still wasn't great. Like, we both still thought the hype was overblown with him in this top five obvious, you know, conversation. But like, I still think he was definitely better last year. Having said that, I tend to believe this is more who he is right now. You know, like, the supporting cast was better last year. They ran the ball a lot better last year. Play action was better last year. So now when he's asked to elevate the talent level around him, to me, he's the lowest. Like, he's just resorted to the lowest common denominator. Like, he hasn't made anybody better. He hasn't played better. He hasn't elevated the team at all. Like, nothing. Like, if anything, it was like he and the other guys last year were just on equal level. Like, he had good players for the most part in that offense. There were some good solid players. They helped each other out. You know, watch the tape. Those receivers made tons of plays down the field for Josh Allen. They helped each other out. And a strong arm is going to do a lot at that level. And when you face the bigger, better FBS teams, and you get more complex coverages and complex schemes to go against, Josh Allen's been absolutely unmitigatingly terrible. Not like in between, horrible. So no chance I'm talking about that in the first three rounds, anywhere in the top 100, wherever you feel like you deem, you know, projects necessary to me. That's where I'm at this point on Josh Allen.
Yep. I mean, Josh Allen was my QB1 going into the year just because I watched him last year. And
it's on promise, you know, like, you know, we're hoping. Right.
Anytime that you do a preseason ranking thing, you're obviously looking at somebody the year before and you're either banking on somebody's promise or not. And when you've never met somebody, you don't know their mentality, you don't know how they go through things, and you don't know how they adapt to situations. Like, when you don't know the mental part of a prospect, it makes it kind of pretty hit or miss. So you're betting on just certain things getting better, and holy cow, did Josh Allen not get better.
Right.
And he's not even close to my QB1 now. But
here's my biggest thing. Do you actually believe, and I'll lay out why I don't think that I do believe. Do you actually believe these, you know, anonymous scouts, local scouts, whatever, you know, anonymous GM, whoever it is, saying that Josh Allen is a for sure top five pick in this year's draft? Because I don't, there's no precedent for that, right? Like, a non-power five quarterback with numbers as bad as him, with tape as bad as him, going that high. Like, if you want to say, somebody will take him in Hackenberg range, like in the second round as a project, okay, but top five, top 10?
I've never met him, though. Yeah. Like, I haven't watched that feature on him either, that like video feature that was rolling around. I haven't been able to watch that yet. But like, dude, if Josh Allen is like Carson Wentz-ish, yeah. Yeah, I could see somebody like taking him top 10.
He's so, like, far behind where Wentz even was coming out, though.
I'm not talking about stats wise, wins wise, clutch wise, anything. I'm talking about like who he is, like as like a person,
as a football mind.
Like, you know how like Wentz is this, like, you know,
yeah,
he's an extremely nice, caring, outgoing, old school. Yeah, like Gruden was saying so many times last night, North Dakota tough, whatever.
But like, I think it's his football intelligence, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of nice guys.
I'm saying, like, I don't know his mentality at all. So, like, if in the background, like, he comes up with these coaches and these meetings and these interviews, and he's like killing the whiteboard drills, even though his performance sucked, and he turns out to be, you know, this like old school kind of a person, like, yeah, dude. Like, NFL
old
people
school person. Fall in love with it. No, there is. Yeah, no, there's definitely a truth to the coach. The coach is like the certain prototypes, you know, the clean cut types. And
because it's how they grew up.
Right.
You know?
Right. And there's some truth to that. But if you're right, I mean, if he can't show it on the whiteboard, forget it.
Players don't cut their dreads during the draft process because they think it's cool. Trust me. You know?
And I think that what you're saying has some truth, but I still don't think that. I mean, like, it could be, you know, great, like, he's worth the project. Like, let's take him day two, maybe, which is too high, but maybe that. But man, you're talking about, you're going to spend your mint first round pick, which means which means you're banking the face of your franchise. You're banking the face of your franchise. You're banking the future of your franchise, the future of your offense, your job on somebody with those numbers, with that tape against that level of competition. And then how bad he's been against any even semi-quality team that he's faced. Any. He hasn't played well against any of them. I mean, I just can't, like, even if you're a good dude, you better, like, slay it on the whiteboard. You better be Peyton Manning. And there's no way Josh Allen's on that level. I don't know. I can't see NFL teams really, honestly, when the draft rolls around. Like I get the hype and the buzz now, and everybody wants to throw, you know, get see their name, or not their name, but, like, you know, their comment show up in the paper and everything. But, man, I just can't, like, it's really hard for me to believe that they're willing to go that high on him. Now, if you want to say too high on him, I can believe that, because, you know, coaches, these guys are you know, they have egos. You know, they think they can fix and mold anything. And so I think that, you know, you could talk me into something like that in the second round. But, man, I just.
So he's obviously the farthest, like, faller.
Oh, yeah. He's out for me. Luke Falk's out for me when we talk about top quarterbacks. The guys that are in that we haven't even talked about enough, and I know we're kind of running out of time, but Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, these are the two guys that, and Lamar Jackson's improved more than any other quarterback that's anywhere near the top in this year in college football. It's not even a question. He's so much better throwing the football, so much better in the pocket, so much calmer, eyes downfield, doesn't drop his eyes as much. Like, he's really... he's gotten to the point where I don't even know if I would call him, like, a scramble. Like, he's a great designed runner, but, like, unless things really break down, which, like, man, athleticism is... Look at Carson Wentz last night. Athleticism is just so awesome to have at the quarterback position. So I love that he brings that to the table. I think that that's huge, big part of his evaluation for me. But people are right that if you can't throw the football, it doesn't matter. But he's proven this year 100%.
He can.
He's been so much more accurate. And I still worry about the deep ball, especially outside the hashes. I still don't think he's there. I don't think he's this clear-cut, mint, top 10, you know, top 5 guy. Like, you know,
dude, he drops dimes, though.
But he can throw with such touch and also such velocity, especially between the numbers. Outside of that, I do think there's issues. But between the numbers, accurate and the release is quick. I don't know. I think he's the most improved quarterback in college football. I think he has a real shot to be my QB1. And you know, I love Baker Mayfield as well. He has been good.
Yeah.
Really last couple of years, you know, but even better this year. I think the biggest area Baker Mayfield's improved into me this year is, in the past, he would seek chaos and thrive in the midst of it, but seek it in the NFL. That may not be a formula for success. This year, he's done a much better job. Of, what's it's that? Not.
I said, you don't have to say may not be a formula for success. It's not.
It's not. Exactly. This year, I think he's done a much better job getting the ball, taking what the defense gives him, living to play another down. And there's still times where he is that creator, you know, that chaos guy. And there's times where he needs to be that guy. And he can do that. He is terrific in those situations. His pocket presence, his moxie, everything you talked about, you wondered about with Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield has it in droves. I think Lamar Jackson has it in droves. So those two guys to me are the most, if we look at this class right now, and again, I've said repeatedly, I don't think it's a great quarterback class at all, but those two guys, aren't they the most ready? I mean, maybe Josh Rosen's in the mix there, depending on what kind of a system he lands in. But I just feel like guys like that are ready. And I don't think they can do everything. I don't think Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson are going to be, you know, those big arm stretch the field types again. I don't think they're going to be great fits for your Coryell offense. But you tell me, if they land with smart offensive coordinators, you can't design a great game plan around those two.
Yeah. No, it's – yeah. No, you suck as an offense coordinator.
Yeah.
In that case.
You do. It's
true. That's all there is to it. Biggest riser, though, or biggest maybe, like, wild card in the class, it's got to be Will Grier, right?
Yeah, Will Grier's a good wild card. And
He has yet to not throw for 300 yards. He's got, you know, 66% completion, 26 touchdowns, 5 in picks. I mean, dude's putting it all together, man. I mean, even beyond, you know, kind of my fairy tale Florida, ex-Florida quarterback hype that, you know, I kind of had for him. He's, you know, he looks good. And trust me, when you're playing in a West Virginia Dana Holgorsen offense, there's going to be times where you're going to watch his tape and you're going to go, yeah, wow, that was an awful throw, even if it was completed or something like that. But that's just like, that is the nature of a Dana Holgorsen offense. Like, he just wants you to throw the ball.
Right.
So, if you are ever watching Will Grier's tape, like, if you're going to watch Will Grier's tape and then, like, somebody else, like, I don't even, let's, just like Rosen's or maybe even like Rudolph's or whatever, like a system that is much more structured, you're going to be worried about what you see with Will Grier, but you have to understand the situation that he's in.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that for sure you can discount that, because mm-hmm. this might be the kind of system that Will Grier thrives in that does not really exist in the NFL, and that right. could be the case too. But I'm just saying that when – as you're going to start – because a lot of people are going to start watching his tape, and I'm just saying that when as you start to watch his tape, realize that being somewhat reckless, you know, throwing the ball off your back foot, doing little things here and there is kind of what you do in a Daniel Holgorsen offense, because it really is about – you have a good quarterback who can put the ball where it needs to go a lot of times, and he just throws it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes yeah. it works masterfully, and it is working for Will Grier so far, you know, this year, but other times it kind of looks awful. But mm-hmm. I'm just saying, don't condemn him too much for that.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. It's different. Like you said, Big 12, it's fake football, right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
So, yes. No, he's got some big tests coming up, and I say big tests because they're going to be tough matchups, not necessarily because the defenses are going to be great. But he's got Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State on the road, Texas at home, and then Oklahoma on the road. So we're going to learn a lot about Will Grier.
Yeah, and those are going to be great for him, but I really want West Virginia to win a handful of those games you just mentioned, because I want to see them get in a good bowl game. I want mm-hmm. to see them play a different kind of team. I want to see Will Grier against an SEC team or a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
Right. One of those two, or an ACC team, one of those. I'd love to see that, because I think it'd be great for him as a prospect and for us to get a good look at actually who he is outside of, you know, playing these Big 12 defenses where you're basically rushing two people, which is the most not football thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right. No, it's been, yeah, he has a chance to be a riser. I know Riley Ferguson from Memphis will get some attention. Quentin Flowers from South Florida will probably get some attention. Austin Allen's name has completely fallen off the map. He's been hurt the last couple games, but he wasn't playing well at Arkansas before that. That whole team is kind of a mess right there. I don't know whether he returns to the fold or not. Mike White from Western Kentucky. Clayton Thorson from Northwestern's gotten some love before. I don't think he's been great when I've watched. There's some other names in there. Who's the Finley kid from NC State? I don't know how great his arm is. I think Jared Stidham from Auburn and DeAndre Francois from Florida State both end up returning to school. Francois obviously hurt. Both redshirt sophomores. I don't think we'll necessarily worry about them this year. Jake Browning's a junior from Washington. I just don't think the NFL is going to be in love with him. He could be a guy that goes back. You know, that's kind of, we're looking for another guy to emerge, because let's be honest, it's been disappointing at the top. I don't think Josh Allen isn't who we thought he would be or hoped he would be. Luke Falk isn't in that mix. Austin Allen hasn't been good this season. Mason Rudolph hasn't been great this season. You know, I think he's concerns have arisen, even though the numbers are great. If you watch the tape, concerns have arisen. Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold have been all over the map, and now there's a lot of talk Darnold could go back. Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield have been the bright spots. I don't think there's any question. They've been two of the lone consistent bright spots. And as a result, their stock for me, way, way up. I think they may be the two most NFL-ready guys, but they neither fit the prototype at all. So it's going to make for a very – this is going to be one of the more fun seasons, especially think about the Senior Bowl. Think about the guys we get to see down there. Luke Falk's probably going to be there, Baker Mayfield, Austin Allen. We're going to get to see some good talent down there, Mason Rudolph. That's going to add another level of intrigue to this. You know, are these guys ready? You know, where are they at? And we still don't know if Lamar Jackson and Josh Rosen declare. They're just juniors. So a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. We wanted to get a quarterback-centric episode out there for you guys to make sure we had that in the bank for you guys. Tomorrow we'll get back. We haven't touched on a lot of NFL rookie performances yet from this past week, but we got a lot to talk about on the college football front as well. So plenty more great topics lined up throughout the rest of the week. Until then, until tomorrow when we're back on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, make sure you keep it locked right here.